one of my, I guess you could call them gurus in this business, when I was first starting in radio back in the late 60s, said to me, Larry, do every program as if it were your last, because it may be...
And you didn't take him seriously then, did you?
I do now. Believe me, I do now. And two people who also should take that dictum seriously join us on the telephone from New York right now. They are programmers at Pacifica Station WBAI in New York, which is, I think, almost all of our listeners know and should find out more about, is now under siege itself, as we have been here at KPFA by our parent Pacifica Foundation, with the abrupt firings a week ago Friday of the station manager and the program director and a producer and shop steward as well. Since then, the changing of the locks in the building, the banning of three more programmers from the premises. One of those who joins us, Mimi Rosenberg, has been a programmer at WBAI even longer than I've been here at KPFA. I didn't think that was possible, but she actually, you told me the other week when I met you at a conference in Madison, Mimi, you started WBAI in 1968?
Yes, it's frightening.
No, it's not. It's encouraging that insane people like you and me would hang in here this long in such an institution. And also joining me is Eileen Sutton, who is a volunteer producer in the WBAI news department, who's now been banned from the station. Eileen Sutton, one of the leaders of Free Speech Radio News, one of the freelancers on strike against the censored Pacifica Network News for over a year now. Welcome once again to Sunday Salon, Eileen.
Thanks, Larry.
And Mimi Rosenberg. Mimi, you are a programmer who does, along with Ken Nash, a labor program now regularly on Mondays for, what, about 20 years?
I do several programs. I do Building Bridges, your community and labor report, which does just that, build bridges between people as workers and those who seek better employment and benefits and wages and their lives within the communities and how that reflects on the entire issues of the working class. I also, oddly enough, which has some irony to me, do a program called In Brief, which is an analysis of the law and legal issues and the legal system itself. So it's,
because you're an attorney and you work with legal services for poor people.
The Legal Aid Society.
Right, in New York City. Mimi, what's your take on what's going on right now? Is this something that will ultimately turn out to be a good thing, as we believe what happened here at KPFA may ultimately turn out to be a good thing in exposing what the Pacifica Foundation is really up to in negating our principles and tradition over the years and enabling us to let people know what's going on with this current imposed board of directors? Or do you think you're in bad trouble there and it's going down the tubes?
Well, one correction, by the way. Thus far, I await my fate. My program is on tomorrow, and I do not know if I am on the infamous list that is sought to bar people from the station. I find it distasteful to use the word banning, even though our appointed general manager, Eutrice Lee, does, since banning to me, of course, came out of the terminology of South Africa and is repugnant to me and incomprehensible to use in conjunction with WBAI, but indeed it's being used. But I don't know if I will be allowed to continue to do my programming or not. I do know that I was physically prevented from gaining entry along with other colleagues last Saturday. You know,
let me just say that your program, you were out of town, but your program was on last Monday with your co-host Ken Nash, and like many people on the air now at WBAI, he spent a good part of that program talking about the situation. It's being talked about by many programmers on the air there, to the apparent consternation of your appointed acting general manager and to the appointed executive director, Bessie Wash, who yesterday, I understand, barged in on the air, in which must have been a marvelous moment of radio theater, and tried to stop a programmer from discussing this on the air,
Well, I... particularly since it was Grandpa Al Lewis whose program Bessie sought to intervene in. I mean, Al is a venerable member of the progressive community. He is, as he would state, 90 years young and has nothing to fear. He's been part of the Hollywood blacklist, etc. Unfortunately, this kind of, and I don't look at it as censorship, this kind of coup, this kind of takeover from the Pacifica National Board with the cooperation, unfortunately, of some local personnel, remains a time of infamy, and certainly Al understands that in the historic context and was not about to be cowed by the intrusion of Bessie, as she says, M. Wash. I must be clear, I hate to learn by adversity, but when one is on the precipice of disaster, one can either go over the edge or choose to learn from that experience and use it to one's advantage. And I maintain that now the New York listenership and the New York personnel had been a little behind our colleagues in California in understanding the might of the Pacifica National Board and their abrogation of all the political principles, moral and ethical concerns that the Pacifica stations have had since their inception. Perhaps now, albeit late in the game, we can catch up quickly and address what is nothing less than a complete transformative process which invariably will alter the content of the programming.
Mimi, let me just say that there's some positive things that have gone on there as well, and bring in Eileen Sutton here. Eileen, when we spoke last, you were planning a large community meeting to try to organize, and I understand it was so large that you couldn't even get enough people in the room last week.
Yeah, that's, pardon me, that's true, Larry. There was upwards of official count by the building folks where it was about 1,100, I think, over the course of the evening, because there were waves of people coming and going. It was probably the total number of people who came to at least a portion of the meeting was closer to 1,400 or 1,500. It was a standing room only crowd, people, you know, literally in the lobby outside the meeting hall, you know, pressing security people to let them in. And it was an extraordinary evening, I think historic in many ways, and as I think I've mentioned in other programs, perhaps some of your listeners have heard, but as a group here in New York trying to reach out to the community, and as Mimi said, bring the New York listenership up to speed, in about 8 to 10 weeks, we went from 100 people at the first community meeting to 1,100 people or more at the sixth community meeting, and that was over the course of 10 weeks. And I was also extremely heartened to see that the group that came out Wednesday night, again, on a very, very cold night in the dead of a New York winter, was extremely representative ethnically and culturally of this station. So should anybody at Pacifica National try to play the race card in New York and insist that somehow, you know, it's a bunch of white guys over 50 in New York who are barking about changes, that has already been put to rest.
Don't worry about the race card. They play with a race deck. Mary Frances Berry has no other cards in her deck, and neither do the people who she's surrounded herself with and who have tried to usurp the power and the necessary and invaluable work that this network has to do. And again, I wanted to let our listeners know, and many of them already know, that you can get the latest on this struggle and what you can do about it and who you can write about it by logging on to www.savepacifica.net, www.savepacifica.net. I just got yesterday an excellent article by the estimable Ed Herman, Noam Chomsky's partner in many books about media, who has something he just written about the WBAI aspect of this struggle that's going to be on ZNet and Z Magazine, and we're going to post it on SafePacifica.net as well.
Can I make one small correction?
I'll make a big one if you have to.
So far we have 7 people have been banned or fired.
7.
3 people have been fired. 4 unpaid staff workers have been banned.
And you're one of them.
I'm one of them. 4 of us, there's now 7. 4 were banned this week, 3 people fired last weekend. Were Mimi to be banned tomorrow, she would be the first programmer to be banned.
Mimi, we don't want to take all morning with this because we have a lot of calls that are still wanting to talk about other things that they believe are of consequence, like the election, but and the future of our country. But you, as far as I'm concerned, there definitely are points of contiguous argument here, but I think you, of all the people I've come across in this struggle, have a really good analysis of what's actually going on here and who this Pacifica board is and what they're up to. And I wonder if you could just take a couple of minutes to bring our listeners up to speed on that and what your conclusion is about who they are and what they're doing.
Well, I have long believed that there is an underlying philosophy that has begun to crystallize, and it is a philosophy that has been stimulated by a radio consultant by the name of David Giovannone, and it has in many ways shaped the face of public radio and national public radio for some years. And this is a gentleman who has been called in as a consultant by the Pacifica National Board. And his philosophy, and I would say in short term, would be to fire our listenership. That to sustain the radio station, obviously there are two pots of money that need to be brought to bear. One is to enhance the grants that come in from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. As a quasi-government entity, it is very clear that if you accept money, particularly based on the nature of their grants, from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting without making any demands, which at least David Selnicker did in earlier years, but
I did it myself. I was one of the people who advocated when I was station manager here in the 70s, taking that money as long as there were no strings.
I disagree with that. I've come to contention with some of my colleagues about that. I am not one who is afraid of taking government monies, although I believe that in
government money is taxpayer money. Those are our listeners.
Exactly. It's our money, but one can't do it without putting terms on it, or by becoming a grant-driven process. We, at this juncture, are much more inclined to do it without any equivocation whatsoever. In addition, the other pot of money, of course, are the listeners. And what you look for, under the prescription of David Giovannone, is a way of increasing your funds tremendously with listeners who can afford to pay for the programs, the two credit card plus household. We're looking for not the sisters and brothers behind the wall or the work experience program workers in New York or other impoverished groups. We are looking for people who want a program and are willing to pay the max for it. That makes us a consumerist station with a fundamentally different mission, purpose, and way of functioning. And now that the Pacifica National Board has brought on significant numbers of careerists, yes, the Bessie M. Wash, yes, the Steve Yaskos. I mean, Steve Yasko was a marketer for the Diane Rehm Show for NPR.
This is the man who is now Pacifica's, this is now Pacifica's National Program Director.
Right, exactly. Before that, it's my understanding, I'm not saying this is absolutely true, but that he was ran a pizza delivery business. I mean, one hardly uses this as references to do national programming for a grouping of stations that comprise.
You know, we have a lot of conspiracy theorists in our audience. He wasn't running the delivery service that Monica Lewinsky called out of the White House, was he, when that pizza came in?
Well,
I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know.
In my research efforts, I'll definitely have to pursue that first.
Okay, thank you.
But one is for sure that we now have two different things. We have a theory that is driving it, which is a fire the listener theory to bring on fundamentally upwardly mobile managerial class of people who can pay for programming along with more grants without any criteria put on the acceptance of such from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It's not an immediate alteration, but it will invariably alter the content of the programming. And first and foremost, the ends, of course, do not justify the means. When people use terminology like banning, when they engage in lockouts or construct blacklists or whitelists, if you prefer the terminology, which I can understand.
Actually, most of the people who have been locked out in New York have been African Americans.
That is true, but one always has to be extremely mindful and sensitive of the implications of these issues in any context if one is anti-racist.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's let's just be clear here. You take, you can always find people of any ethnicity who will betray their ethnicity for a few pieces of silver.
I mean, we understand the Bush administration has accepted women and African Americans and Latinos into the cabinet, and we also understand that they have a philosophy that is such that it would crush progressive social justice campaigns. There's no question about that. Nevertheless, it's important to be, as I know we all are, mindful of the history of racial oppression within our society.
Nene, I don't. We're at a point now where I wanted to get back to our listener phone-ins, and I just wanted to tell our listeners here at KPFA that we will be continuing, as we have for years now, on this program and on other KPFA programs to cover what's going on at WBAI in New York. Obviously, there are very strong people like Nene and Eileen who are not giving up. In fact, an overwhelming percentage of the staff is behind this effort to get Pacifica out of New York and to be true to our traditions of community control and listener sponsorship. And we wish you well, and we'll be back with you again.
Larry, it is definitely a power struggle, and the power of the people is and will be mightier than the bureaucratic neoliberal politics of the people who have now gained control of the national foundation structure.
Thank you very much, and we'll find out tomorrow what your particular fate is, whether you join those who are excluded or banned. But even if you are, I know that along with those of us here who suffered a similar fate on a short-term basis, you will continue to struggle and get yourself back in and dedicated to the principles that are the only reason for this network to exist.
Larry, can I kick out the hotline number?
Sure.
718-707-7189.
718-707-7189.
Yes.
And that's especially for people in the New York area. So if any of our listeners here today, we're not on our usual web service, so anybody here has friends or relatives or associates in New York that should be aware of what's going on at WBAI and aren't, they can either log on to www.savepacifica.net or call that hotline number 718-707-7189. We'll be right back. Thanks, you both, Eileen and Mimi. Pat Thurston and I will be right back talking
it
about...
It will be a good new year.
Thank you, and happy new year to both of you, as happy as it can be.
Thanks, Mark.
No happiness without struggle. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.